And that's really why my faith is kind of like on steroids, because after he worked that miracle and healed me, like, I really trust God with everything, you know, like, and my faith is like, all right, you want me to quit my job, God? You work this miracle. I'm gonna be good. And like, Jamal, I'm telling you, living proof that like, it's been up since I quit my job. Like, I went from, you know, being in the doctors all the time, being medically assured, to literally living life on the edge.
Here's the tempo. I'll give it to you now. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to another episode of The Culture's Money.
Welcome to The Culture's Money.
The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vito.
This is another episode of The Culture's Money. I am your host, Jamal Vito. Some of you may know me on other platforms as Leo Grand Prince, but however it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be advocate for financial literacy, generational wealth, and generational health. You know, this is the podcast for your financial literacy, your financial mindset, entrepreneurship, investing, anything financial in the culture. This is where you will find it. I have a great episode for you today with a company and a brother who does things that I think are very respectable, very good, and things that are rare for the community. I would like to introduce you guys to Mr. Larif.
Hey. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, Jamal, thank you for the invite, man.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on. I always like to tell I'm authentic on you. I always like to tell the listeners that this is our second try, because last week I double booked with him. I was in the middle of recording another episode for y'all, and I didn't realize I had booked him at the same time, and we were emailing. I was like, crap, I double booked the email. So we had to reschedule, but he was gracious enough to charge it to my head and not my heart. So he came on to talk to us. So tell the people a little bit about what you do, and then we'll get into it.
Sounds good. So I am the CEO and founder of Peculiar Travel, which is a Black-owned travel curation company. We were established back in December of 2019, and our services and things that we essentially do is provide travel consultation for solo couples and group travel. Another component of our company is that we curate group trip experiences to places where not your average traveler go, but are nice, safe, and beautiful. One of the things that we really try to, you know, what sets us apart is the experiences that we curate. You know, it's fine to go to Tulum and to Bahamas, but what about those countries that we don't know about, like Martinique or Croatia? Things like that. So that's pretty much a lot of the things that we do at Peculiar Travel. In addition to the travel and the service side, we also have a merchandise arm to our company as well.
That's cool. That's cool. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think I looked at you. You teach full time, right? You're a teacher?
I'm not. So I'm not a teacher. I'm not an educator, but I have been a part of that capacity. Just being a part of my niece and nephew's village, who are currently in both elementary and middle school. So because I'm a full-time entrepreneur and I kind of have some flexibility, you know, I've been like an acting teacher. So not officially, but I have played that role due to the pandemic.
Hey, man, like during the pandemic, we all have roles and skill sets we normally wouldn't have. Absolutely. So the interesting part about you is you said you curate experiences to countries that people generally don't know. And educate me on that again, because, you know, travel's been around a lot. How hard is it to find, you know, experiences that aren't as widespread as other experiences? Well, you know, people know the Tulums, the Mexicos, the Montreals and Canada and all that. So how hard is it to find those diamonds in the rough when you're looking for experiences that no one else is offering?
Sure. So I won't say it's hard to find, but, you know, usually, you know, we only go places where everybody's going. You know, we know, for example, the social media. If someone's buying a Teflon bag or a celebrity, everybody's buying that, you know. So it's in those kind of spaces, people not doing the research, are just kind of copying what the trend is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing about my company, and when I first started developing, you know, my brand, I looked at what all the other travel companies were currently doing and said, hey, I want to do the opposite, because what's the only thing that's going to allow me to stand out and my brand to stand out is doing something that something in this industry is not doing. So one thing that I want, you know, I've laid a platform for Peculiar Travel is to do that research and research those places where, again, those underrated cities and countries that people are not going, because I guarantee you the experience that we put together and curate after it goes viral on social media, everybody's traveling there. So I like to be that trendsetter or being, that first person or first company to go there, because I can look back and say, hey, Peculiar Travel went there first. Now everybody's traveling there. So I like to do the work and research. Like, you know, I'm traveling has become my passion. So I'm constantly on Google, constantly on blog, listening to podcasts to kind of, you know, see what I can pull from those various outlets and add to my brand from a more organic and authentic standpoint. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you definitely did. So do you guys do the entire like itinerary where, or is like you pick the place and let people kind of explore, or is it more like real in depth where it's like you find the places that you don't hear about a lot, you go there or send someone to go there and do the work, like live in the place like you've been there, like you vacation, find all the crystals and all that. So is it a mix of both? Like some people just want to pick a place that normally hasn't, you know, doesn't get a lot of populace, a lot of advertising, or they want you to plan out the whole trip. Like you've been there, tell me what to do when I get there, that type of thing.
Great. You actually hit the nail on the nose. That's the phrase. So that's what we do from Cradles to Grave. So we actually curate the entire itinerary from the time you arrive to the time you leave. Some of the pre-planning is that, you know, we have like payment plans and contracts in place where, you know, our registrants sign up. And the thing before I, you know, elaborate further on that, one thing about us, we don't like to plan. Like we'd rather, you know, go with somebody that's trustworthy that we can, you know, depend on and pay them, you know, to do all of the planning. So from the accommodations to the airport transfers, to the excursions, to the restaurants, to the private chefs, all of those items are what I do. Cause right now I'm a one man show. With the exception of my interns. So, but essentially I do a lot of the work. I do all of the planning. And you mentioned, you know, sending someone there. I actually do site visit trips prior to whatever the specific trip that I have planned, just to go and make sure everything that I'm, you know, discussing with my vendors via email is credible and basically the same in person. So, you know, I want to make sure, you know, the vibes are good and make sure everything is fine. So when I bring that group of 20, 30 people, that I know is safe and everything will be good.
So kind of take it back a little bit for me. Is this your first entrepreneurial venture? Like, is this your first startup, your first company, or did you do something else before this?
This is the very first. So my career background is in procurement and contracting. I was in that field for about
way before years. You can't go. I know what procurement is because I used to work for MTA here in Baltimore, but I can't let you run past that without telling people what procurement is.
Yeah, I get this all the time. So procurement is just essentially the purchase of buying like supplies and goods for companies, organizations. And it's another, I say it's a fancy word of purchasing. Mm-hmm. So procurement is essentially things, you know, buying, putting contracts, getting bids, meaning, you know, you're sending out solicitations for, let's say we're trying to get a bid for crayons. You'll send, you know, a list, send up the bid or solicitation to all of the crayon vendors. They'll come back to you with their pricing. You'll pick the best bid and then you'll award that vendor. So a lot of like legal things you have to consider, a lot of moving parts, but essentially it's just buying.
You hit the nail on the head. You explained exactly how I wanted you to explain it, because both of you don't know it's a fancy word for purchasing. And also it's like you said, the bidding of the contracts, like MTA used to do it because they used to order like rail trains or subway trains while I was there. And right. I used to say in big corporation or especially in governmental things, if procurement and finance, which was what I worked for when I was working for the MTA, I was a financial analyst on consultant. If we not in the room, there's no meeting. They will reschedule the entire meeting because they can't run numbers without us.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely. If one of us is in the room, they still might reschedule because they want the other one, because one's handling budget and one's doing the contract. So they's like, yeah, let's reschedule.
Absolutely. And with just the comment, like, you know, procurement, it plays an integral part and role in any business, any company. If it wasn't for that specific sector or department, like you say, a lot of other departments won't be able to fully function. So I was in that capacity for about 10 years, made good money, liked my job, did not love it. And, you know, I moved into, and I've always traveled. What really started, really opened Pandora's box for traveling was I studied abroad in Europe when I was in college. And by far, you know, I'm from Chester, Pennsylvania, small city, about 20 minutes south of Philadelphia. Nice. And, you know, I was just so used to just being boxed at home. And, you know, so even when I, you know, studied abroad, you know, I was a little apprehensive, a little nervous, but I'm so glad I did, because now I had this traveler bug that's never going to die, you know. So fast forward, you know, again, traveling just was fun. 10 years ago, didn't really see making it a full-time endeavor or career. But, you know, went through some things and, you know, God showed me, revealed to me what I needed to do within this next chapter of my life. And, you know, I think that, you know, before, you know, he gives us desires of our heart, but sometimes we got to go through certain things first before we can get that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when I started the company in 2019, I knew eventually I would quit my corporate job, you know, once Peculiar Travel, whatever endeavor would be super lucrative. But back in January, God was like, of 2020, he said, quit, you know, and I'm like, yo, what I'm thinking about the adult things, like, you know, what about health insurance, things like that. And, you know, just really solely just took that leap of faith, Jamal, and quit my job and not even knowing a pandemic is going to happen surely 2 months after that. Mm. But I have not lacked or have not had any type of failure by pursuing this passion and, you know, really working my faith. So as of January 2020, I've been a full-time entrepreneur and still thriving in the midst of a pandemic.
It's so telling that you say that, because like I was telling you before we got on, I'm in the process of transitioning to Dallas. And I find that, you know, people, an entrepreneur, they have that same, I don't want to say reckless abandonment, yeah, but they're willing to do it even when they're scared. It's like, I really yeah, don't know how this is going to work out, but fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway.
And faith plays a good role in most of us. Have some type of, it may not be exactly the same religious belief, but there's a belief, sure, in a higher power that someone's going to watch out for us. Well, and said. I find it very interesting that we're always, so people would be like, because people ask me now, like, what did you do before you decided to move to Dallas? Pick the city. Like, I to this, yeah, day still don't all know what I'm going to do when I get there. Career-wise, the only thing I am doing that is normal is getting a place to live. Otherwise, yeah, it's just, that's, I'm key, rolling with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, when you started it, did you bootstrap it? Did, you know, because, you know, the family and friends fund really doesn't exist in the Black community. You know, they say I can read 100 articles about start with the family and friends fund. It's just, it doesn't exist over here. So with, right, us, most of the times we either bootstrap it or we get enough action going that we revenue generated. It's like, let the, yeah, revenues pay for the operation of business. So which avenue did you take?
I would say the bootstrap. I really had little to no money starting out Peculiar Travel. I had only thing I had enough money saved up for was to get my logo, to become an LLC. So in all, like under $1,000 is what I had to kind of at least start it. At the time, I didn't have a financial plan. I didn't have financial goals. I didn't know. I basically, like I said, I just took a chance, took a risk. And really just been figuring this thing out, you know, since I started. And, you know, I think that my career background, like I said, I totally don't regret or just want to bash my career in procurement, because, and I had some HR experience as well, because all of those different jobs that I was a part of, it really prepared me for this role as a CEO and founder of my own company in regards to what type of, you know, clauses to be in contracts. You know, how to manage money, you know, when I found my intern, what HR things I need to be looked for, things like that. So I've been kind of used that. Those skill sets have definitely, I've been able to, or have been transferable to now. But
even, I would imagine, you know, especially the contract negotiation, for real.
Yes, man. And I'll kind of keep it without giving too much detail. Like, even like some of my contracts I've written, I have not needed to reach out to legal assistance, because I know what needs to be in these contracts, you know,
that gives you a cheat code, because you can really skim on legal for a while before you need an actual legal thing.
Huge, especially like, you know what, I don't have thousands of dollars in mm-hmm. my account right now, you know. So mm-hmm. I definitely, and even like back then when I started, I launched my company, I did a group trip to Iceland called mm-hmm. Black Ice, an Iceland experience for the culture. So I did that. Didn't really make a lot of money from that trip, but I was mostly proud about the trip and excited to the fact that I knew I was going to pre-launch my company. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of just discuss that trip later on if you have any questions about trips I've done. But when I did that, I had some kind of startup money, but nothing to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm about to hire a team of six people. You know, like I didn't have, and I still not to, as of now, I don't have it yet. You know, the type of resources to bring on a team. But I guarantee you, man, very soon, the things that are currently happening, you know, the money is just going to start to flow. Outside is opening up. People don't want to be home no more. You know, nobody wants to be quarantined. So I know that right now my business is picking it up and I'll be able to kind of have a lot more money to further push, you know, my vision and my company.
So like you say, pandemic has been going on a while. So it's probably giving you ample time to deal with like the normal things entrepreneurs do deal with a slowdown, you know, a slow quarter and everything like that. Being able to being the only, sometimes people always say, you know, entrepreneurs hire too slowly, like their business is taking off. Sometimes they either hire too slow or they hire too late. It's like, mm-hmm. you should have been hired or you hire too many, anything like that. But mm-hmm. having that, you were the only one really working and the intern, you were probably able to weather through the pandemic a little bit better because there was no red to bleed, like no payroll to pay, anything, just you, which gave you a lot more flexibility. Do you find that being an entrepreneur, when it's just you in the beginning, you can live personally with a lot less while your company endures maybe a slow season?
Totally. Absolutely. I think that my intern actually didn't start to last month. So primarily for throughout the whole pandemic, it was just myself. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, I'll never forget, I had my official public launch party on February 29th, which is a leap year date and a peculiar date. Mm. So I had a launch party that day. And then literally the next week, that's when the world started shutting down and grant, you know, if we have that mandated quarantine. And I had six curated group trips planned for 2020 that I had to either cancel or postpone because we couldn't get to the countries I had, you know, planned to visit. Mm-hmm. And I could have easily got discouraged and, you know, called my, you know, previous employer and say, hey, can I get a job back? But I was like, I was at a place of peace. And I'm like, I'm going to be good, you know. And, you know, because we couldn't travel, because the industry was greatly impacted during the pandemic, I was able to pivot by launching the merchandise collection for Peculiar Travel. So mm-hmm. that was able to kind of allow me to generate some type of income. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a lot, but it gave me stuff to pay my car, pay mm-hmm. my insurance. And, you know, and I always knew I was going to do more merchandise, but didn't expect to do it as soon. But it's like, man, when I launched it back on May 22nd of 2020, it's been a hit, you know. And, you know, even, you know, it'll kind of allow me to see another aspect or direction where my company can go. I can see that, you know, we're handling the travel side things, but I also seeing that this could be an official worldwide apparel brand as well. So doing that, you know, definitely, you know, kept me engaged, kept me, keeping that positive energy and staying in the right mind, because I could have easily got the surge and could easily had a meltdown because of what I let go and things like that, as far as like, you know, not having that stability, not getting a check every 2 weeks, you know. But, you know, God just showing himself, you know, strong. And that's really the reason why I made it through, man, and made the burden light throughout the entire pandemic, even to now.
So talk to me about, you know, some of these places, maybe not particularly, it still could, because, you know, some of these places probably have long extended relationships with these big travel companies. Do you run into a thing where they might not want to do business with you because of to offend the other travel companies? Because technically, you know, you could be taking away some of their business. They might not see you as a threat now, because there's always, you know, they never see the little guy as a threat until all of a sudden he's a big guy or medium guy, something like that in corporation. So do you run into that sometimes where they're like, no, we have, you know, we have established relationships with such and such and such. We're not looking for another, you know, travel company or anything like that. Because with some of these resorts or wherever you're sending people, relationship is key to kind of negotiate the pricing, the deals and all that, right?
Yes. Yeah, so to answer your question, no, I have no issues at all, no denials. And I think primarily because of, you know, just the what my company stands for And it's unique. It's different. Like everything that we do, every service we offer, every trip that we do is different. And, you know, sometimes we like things that are unique and hasn't been done before. So when I bring a concept or an idea, you know, to a vendor, to a company, to a boat company, things like that, they're like, yo, this is really dope. Like, let's try to see what we make happen because I can see this becoming a bigger thing. So yeah, no, I have no issues with any of type of vendors or countries or businesses that I've dealt with thus far. And hopefully it stays that way.
Praise God for that. Now, tell them now, most of us have tried to, I can't even plan a trip with my five cousins without getting, how do you handle, I know what you said, it was I heard you right, you said it was a trip of 30 people. How do you plan with that many diverse moving parts? Because it's 30 individual people, but then it's, I'm assuming it's probably clicks within that because, you know, certain people only travel with this people. How is it creating that whole experience, getting everybody on the same page, keeping everybody on a schedule? Like, is it just you work like that, or is it, you know, a learning process how to managing that many parts, or are the party sizes not always that big?
So yeah, they're not always that big. Most of the trips I've done thus far range between 25 to up to 60 people. And I think, you know,
that's
to be able
still
to
a lot of people.
A person that can do manage execution, be personable, be direct, and have great customer service. So I'll give an example. Back in 2018, I did a group trip. So initially, did not start out as a group trip. When I travel for fun, I find flight deals. If I find a cheap flight somewhere, $200, I'm buying it. So back in 2018, in June of 2018, there was a round trip flight to Martinique, which is an island in the Caribbean, owned by the France, and it was $218. Never heard of Martinique, never had planned to travel there. Booked the flight, sent it to my friends, their friends sent it to their friends, and their friends sent it to their friends. And within 2 months, 40 people signed up for the trip. Each month, as we get leading to November, the trip took place in November, more and more people started booking that flight because it never went up. I think the highest it went up to 268 pennies. So by August, I said, hey, we have a large group. So let me, you know, find a hotel. We just bought the flight. So let me find a hotel, try to put together our itinerary and make this thing a group trip. So the name of the trip was called Martinique Palooza. Mm-hmm. And it was 60 of us, all Black, all of us from about 13 different states. And we had the time of our lives. And when I got there, you know, did all the planning, you know, things was really going well. We got with the locals, we went with the nightlife, we had the hotel, we did the boat day. After that trip, I got so much feedback, positive feedback, like, yo, Larry, like, I had the time of my life. They're like, yo, you should do this for a living. And like, at the time, I'm like, yo, nah, I said, I just do this for fun. But that really kind of shifted my focus on, hey, I think I'm on to something. I can really do this as, you know, a moneymaker. And so, so I think that, you know, I'm a planner, like my mom a planner. So like planning things for two people to 60, it's just something I've been gifted to do, you know, not saying everything is always easy, you know, have the stress, but it's like, it's good stress. So like, I do really, really well with it. I think that, you know, like I said, having those skills and having that patience and be able to speak quickly on your feet when things don't go right. Cause everything don't always plan A. Don't always follow through. You know, sometimes something can happen. It could be a shuttle transportation might cancel, and you got to think of a plan B. So like, it's just a gift that I have, man. And it's really, you know, it's sometimes I surprise myself the things that God's allowed me to do, but it's working itself out.
It's funny that you talk about the pivot and obstacles. I'm reading this great book. I'm not sure if you read. I'm actually reading for the second time. I finished it. It's called The Obstacle is the Way. And it talks about the obstacle being the solution, like kind of what you said, like, oh, a shuttle ain't show up. OK, that's the solution. A shuttle ain't show up. We're going to find something else. And it speaks to like the entrepreneurial spirit where it's like you're constantly pivoting. Everything is a pivot. It's like, OK, plan A ain't work, plan B ain't work, plan C ain't work. Even if you run all the way out to alphabets, it's always a new thing that can be tried. And the more entrepreneurs I talk to, the more I find that people, they constantly have that mentality to keep on changing. They keep evolving. They keep becoming the better portions of themselves. And it comes to do their business. They're also passionate about it. Like, cause you gotta be passionate to keep doing what you were doing. And it can't just be about money, because if it was about money, like you said, you would've went back to your job. Like, soon as the pandemic hit it, you would've went back to your job. And so How's that delicate balance between, okay, I need to be passionate about it. It has to be about, you know, the product and all that. But like you said, we still got bills. We still got to pay everything. So how do you balance that delicate balance between, all right, I want to do this passion, but I still have to be sound and logical and practical about taking care of basic human adult necessities?
Yeah. So I think that's a great question. And I hate to kind of keep going, you know, well, I don't make no apologies. Like it's really God. Like he's really the source for everything that I have going on, man, at all. And, you know, even I'll just kind of share my testimony. Like I went through something very, very, a hell of a situation prior to the birthing of Peculiar Travel, health-wise. So for 2 years, I dealt with this crazy, painful stomach disorder where I could not eat for two years. So it came out of nowhere, seeing different specialist gastrologists, had this pain that sat in my chest. Mm. They could not figure out all types of testing, all types of ultrasounds, the labs, everything kept coming back normal. And I dealt with this, like I said, for 2 years, seeing different doctors, couldn't eat because the foods that I was eating, it would leave me in excruciating pain. Mm. So my diet consisted of like cream of wheat and soup. Like Jamal, that was the only thing that really provided some temporary relief. So because I couldn't eat, I lost a substantial amount of weight. Like over the course of a year, I dropped from 150 to 138 pounds. And, you know, and then about in the spring of 2019, you know, because I was living in the DMV in Maryland, state of Maryland. And, you know, guys spoke to me and said, you know, in order for your healing to take place, you have to move back home, which is Chester. So I'm like, at the time, I had a really nice setup. I was living in a place rent free, great amenities. I'm like, Pop, I hear you, but like, I'm living good right now. But, you know,
I'm crying that you call him Pop, because that's what I do. I call him Pop.
You know, like, yo, I'm good. And then, you know, I never forget the very next month, May, he revisited me and spoke to me and said, if you don't move, this, what you're dealing with is going to last forever. And I said, no, because the pain that I was in, like, it affected my quality of life, everything. And I moved back home. He said, God, I trust you. Move back home. Didn't have my healing once I got back. It wasn't until my company became an official LLC, August of 2019. Literally the next month, Jamal, this is no lie. The next month, went to eat something I haven't eaten in a while. Kind of, you know, nervous about if I eat, I'm being this pain. Ate it, the pain was gone. So, and it's to kind of put it in context. It's like, you know, again, I kind of said earlier, before God can give us the desires of our heart, we got to go through a period of suffering and testing. And that situation one was totally from God. And I'm not giving the enemy any credit because every time we go through stuff, we always like, oh, the devil's alive, the devil's busy. But no, sometimes God really give us things to really see if we see how much we really trust him. And when I went through that, you know, my sickness was peculiar every sense of the word, to the point where the doctor's going to figure it out. Like they're showing my organs on the scripts and like, yo, Mr. Ham, everything looks fine. We don't know, you know, like totally peculiar. So I'm like, you know, God, you allowed me to go through a peculiar situation in every sense of the word to prepare me for this company, which is ministry. And that's really why my faith is kind of like on steroids, because after he worked that miracle and healed me, like, I really trust God with everything, you know, like, and my faith is like, all right, you want me to quit my job, God? You work this miracle. I'm going to be good. And like, Jamal, I'm telling you, living proof that like, it's been up since I quit my job. Like I went from, you know, being in the doctors all the time, being medically assured, to literally living life on the edge, no health benefits right now, and in the best shape of my life.
Talk about irony, like, right? Like, talk about
son, like, yo, it's like, and every time I talk about it, you know, and I always, before me getting my healing, I always said, God, let your will be done through this. And I said, I promise you, like, once you bring me through this, everybody's going to know about this, what you did, you know? So like, he's really the foundation of Peculiar Travel. And like, you know, whatever he's in the midst of, like, he's going to bless it. So like I said, the fact that so many companies could, you know, are no longer in existence through the pandemic, and here I'm still here, accomplished so much in a pandemic. And like, so like, to answer your question, like God is the balance, like, you know, like he's really the balance for everything that's going. He's been a provider. Like I said, pay bills on time. And like I said, every month ain't a, you know, I don't, some 1 week I have, you know, good income. or good money, amount of sales of merchandise, and 1 week ain't nothing coming through. But yeah, everything's still paid and I'm still eating every day and still traveling, doing what I want, you know? So that balance is God, man. Like,
so I think I know the answer to the next question, just based off your testimony. You named the company because the illness was peculiar and they couldn't figure it out, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's that Southern Baptist in me. Listening to the story, he named it because the illness was peculiar. They were showing all signs. That's what I like to call, my aunt would call it an affliction of the spirit. The spirit was making you uncomfortable. So you would, you know, sometimes we really, and I can relate to you in that aspect, whereas my move to Dallas is kind of based off that, where it's like I'm moving based off the fact that something happened last fall that it had to be God. It was so uncomfortable. It was so wild. It was so just, yeah. It was like it had to be that. So I think that's great. So tell me what's the 2020 and 2021 goals? Well, 2021 and 2022. Give me 5-year overall. Don't give me specifics, but what's the overall plan?
Oh, okay. So expansion, trademarks. I'm kind of giving you words. So you said no detail. 6 figures in sales. And also I want to launch I do have a philanthropic arm. It's in development right now. So I kind of really want that to become a full-fledged thing over the course of the year as well. And also, you know, just everything that I had planned for this year, that it be successfully executed and come to pass, you know? So I think I'm really excited about 2021 and next year because, you know, as I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, people are outside, people are traveling. But I think come 2022 is when the world really is going to be fully open. Preferably we'll be out of the pandemic. And I think people are just going to really be running to the airport and just traveling. So, and I want, you know, to be able to procure your travel, to be the premier travel company where people are flocking to, you know, to curate their experiences and to provide them with the services. Because, you know, one thing about that Black Ice trip of 30 people, I've built a community from that trip. And like, since that took place, all of my trips I had planned for last year, they all were signed up for because of the experience that they had in Iceland, you know. So the more clients I have, the more these trips that I do, people want to spread the word, you know. Black Ice went viral. I had so many people signed up, say, hey, when are you doing a part two? You know, so I think that when you provide a value added and great experience, people would never forget it, you know. And one thing about us, I love us, but you know how we are. You know, if something ain't going right, we run and tell them it, you know. But I'm glad to be able to have people, our people are providing positive feedback and compliments about the work at Procure Your Travel, because that's going to continue to just, their word of mouth marketing is continue to grow my brand as well. So 2021 and 2022 is looking up, is looking very rich, and I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Like, y'all can't see the look on his face, but he got joy, he got belief, he got everything. Like, that's so dope. Before we wrap up, I generally like to tell, I like to let my guests have the last word. Give I know you want to give them something dope. Give them words of wisdom. Give them your Twitter handles, your Instagrams, any place where they can find your product. And what they can look for, and tell them anything that you want to tell them about the brand and where they can find all the locals.
Absolutely. So what I'll do, if it's cool, I'll do the words of encouragement at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
Couple things. So one thing that we have coming up this year, actually this June, this month, is doing a schools out trip for educators. It's a curator group trip specifically for educators. And the whole purpose of me doing that trip was to, you know, being a part of my niece and nephew village. Shout out to my niece Karis and little Paul, seeing how much, you know, the virtual learning, hybrid learning have been a lot, not just on the students, but for these teachers, you know, just to be able to have forcing them to adapt into a learning style that none of us are used to. And I'm like, man, like, teachers don't get paid enough, you know? So I took, you know, being in that position, helping my family and tying it to my business, say, hey, how about creating a trip just for educators? You don't really hear no travel company doing trips for targeted groups. You know, so when I came up with it, I said, hey, let's make it happen. And, you know, just, it's been just so, like I said, I began from you and other people just like, yo, this is very unique. You know, we have, I have a special guest, Dr. Wendy Osefo. She's a political commentator. She's a professor at Johns Hopkins. And she's also a cast member on a hit Bravo TV show, Housewives of Potomac. you know, reached out to her and her team. She's going to be a part. So I'm just super excited to give them that reward, to say thank you and allow them to have some grown-up recess, to have some fun. So, you know, if you want to book a last minute trip and meet us in Cancun, Mexico, you know, you can find all of the details on our website at www.procureyourtravel.com. And we have some other things set up for this year, but I'm super excited about just showing educators a great time in June. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Procure Your Travel. We're also on Twitter at Procure Your Travel as well, and Facebook at the same handle, Procure Your Travel. We have merchandise available on the site as well. One of our most top selling items is our Travel Cures Everything collection. And if you can visualize it, it's a picture of a broken heart stitched together with an airplane. You know, and the meaning behind that, we know when we travel, it allows us to get away from the stresses of life. Traveling changes us. It gives us that mental break. It heals us, you know. So a lot of people are really connecting to, and it's a pretty dope logo. And I'm humble, but I really brag, because like it's fire. Like I have like, you know, a really, really great line. And I just see so many people are wearing it now, but like I'm noticing people are like texting me. They're in the airport. Hey, Larif, I seen somebody wearing the Travel Cures Everything hoodie, you know, so it's really becoming a thing, and you know, and it's going to be one day you're going to see it everywhere, you know. So I'm speaking that to existence. So you want to buy something, we got socks, crew necks, about to drop some t-shirts. Go run it up for your boy and support this black owned business. But last but not least, just to give some final thoughts, first I just want to thank Jamal and the Culture's Money podcast for inviting me, you know. And you, we would not have connected if you didn't see the post on social media. So I do thank social media for the role that it plays and gives us that visibility and exposure. And I wish you continued success and everything that you have going on. Hopefully one day we can do a group trip and, you know, we can have your podcast live, you know, at the group trip, you know, maybe something for entrepreneurs or something like that. So
don't you start stirring my spirit right now, bro. Don't start that, because you know, they're gonna listen to this and start asking about it. I'll be like,
that'd be dope.
That would be like a whole episode of us live in some resort. That would be dope.
Some resort on another island. You know, we're gonna keep that tucked. But you know, just for the listeners out there, if I was to give some words of encouragement, I would say to always bet on yourself. You're your own competition. I know in this society we have it's so easy to compare ourselves to other people. And you know, with that can affect us mentally. Okay, this person is doing that. Why I'm not there? And you know, I think that comparing thing is toxic for us, specifically us as blacks, you know. So I really encourage you to put on your tunnel vision, you know, understand that whatever God has for you is for you, you know. And again, it's a kind of another comment, you know, we don't always know people that's getting these blessings, getting these cars, becoming, you know, millionaires, et cetera. We don't know what they went through to get to where they are. Use me, for example. If you looked at me, you would never think in a million years I was dealing with this unknown sickness for 2 years, you know, but I handled it with grace. I never stopped smiling. I pushed forward, you know? So like now, and I can honestly say, you know, everything that I'm getting, like I earned this thing. Like I deserve it, because I know what it took, what I went through to get here. So trust your own path, trust your own journey, trust the higher being that you believe in. And I guarantee you everything that you want, it's yours, you know, but just stay the course, you know, bet on yourself and work your faith in whatever higher being that you believe in. I'm a firm believer. I'm living proof. I'm a living, breathing Anthony Brown. He has a song that's I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking, moving miracle. Like that's me. And I'm sure a lot of viewers out there are the same as well.
Man, that was deep. Like that sounds like a sermon for me, for real. Like I feel like God's speaking to me on that. No lie. You know, like I'm a church boy morning through. So that's definitely what it is. So we like to thank Larif for coming on and giving us this, like, you know, this spiritual experience for real. But like promoting his business, Procure Your Travel, like what he said, go follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I want you to get the merchandise. Definitely book the trips. Y'all know we've been cooped up for 2 years. It's time to go.
Y'all need to answer every outside call.
Every outside call. The streets is definitely calling. And I'm going to get on, because the funny thing is I just recently started traveling before like we went into this thing. So I had only gone to Mexico. That was the first trip, and then we got locked down. So I'm definitely gonna be hitting you up for other places because I still have places on the bucket list. So we definitely gonna be doing that. But we like to thank him for coming on. I'm sure this will not be his last appearance. When he has a new launch, whatever he can contact me, tell me you want to come on, talk about something else, and we'll get the episode set up. Appreciate, as always, I appreciate all my Black entrepreneurs, influence, content creators. Everything that you do is useful to the culture, and we definitely appreciate it. This has been another episode of The Culture's Money, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitose, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.